This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
And sends in tune with God. And this whole song about I surrender, I want to know you more, is speaking to my heart yesterday morning at 3 o'clock. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Every eye closed for a moment. Somebody from the Northern Ireland sent me a message, and he gave me this prophetic word that I want to give you this morning. And it says this, and the Lord says this: if you long for me and desire for me as I desire and long for you, you will be satisfied. Oh. I want you just for a moment, think about that. The songs that we just sang here. I want to know you more. You know, so often we sing songs like that and it's just words. But the Father's desires, He's longing for you and me this morning. He's desiring to have communion with us. And Father, as we come to a place of surrender at the beginning of this year, Lord, it is our heart's desire. And Lord, I pray that prophetically over every person here this morning, Lord, that our deepest desire, Lord, would be to long for you, Lord. Not for things, not even for church, Lord, but for you, Lord. We find you in the midst of this, Lord. Oh God, that we would drink from that fountain this morning, Lord. That you would come and refresh our souls, Lord. That you will be our cliff, Lord. That you will be our rock of refuge this morning, Lord. The place that we run to, Lord. Far away from the arrows of the enemy, Lord. Our safe place, Lord. Our Father. Father, we love you. Oh, we love you, Lord. And even with those words, Lord, that we say, it is so broken, Lord. Because our understanding of love is sometimes just so broken. Heal us and draw us closer to you. Jesus, we love you. Amen. Amen. Greet somebody. Give them a high five. Make them feel welcome here with us. Well, good morning from my side. It's my second time here with you in the new venue. And it still blesses me. I'm still overwhelmed by what God is busy doing here. I don't know if you realize what God is busy doing here. Those of you that's been part of the previous venue and what God started at that side and even before that, you can really see God's hand as He's taking us into a new time. And every time then we shift, every time when we move, every time when something in the physical happens, there's a shift that needs to take place. And I believe for us as well, Shofar Office Bay as well, there's a shift that needs to take place, sometimes in the mind, but also in the spirit. So I want you to hear me out this morning that I really believe at the beginning of this year that God is saying to us, there's a shift that needs to take place. And if you understand that, you start thinking differently, you start operating differently, you walk differently. But you know, we tend to be creatures of habit. We live in our environment. We get used to that environment. They say even when a venue changes, or things like that, you stay there long enough and you don't realize, you know, the difference there anymore. It looks the same to us. That's just the way we are. And even our towns, where we are. But it's easy for people from the outside or whenever we're coming in from the outside that we do look at things different. And I think that's so unnecessary that from time to time that we do stay on the verge of what God is doing. Get out of that environment. Allow God to speak to you. I was driving here, and you look at this town, and I'm just praying for this town. I'm like, God, what an amazing privilege to be here, to plant a church that's been here now for a while, but that God is using us, Shofar Office Bay, to be a light to the nations, Don't underestimate what God has called us to do here in this. And if you need to get out of Wolfie's Bay just to hear God's voice in a different way, I do that often. There's nothing wrong with it. I love that. When I'm on the road, God would just speak to me in different ways. And I would just dream about the kingdom of God. But as I was driving here and I look at this town and I'm like, God, what a privilege it is. Bless this church. Bless this church to become influential in this town and all the other churches as well. But where we are, we need to speak about and say, what is God saying to us this morning, you know? We are fairly at the beginning of this year. Hopefully all of you have come to a place where you are sure where you want to go this year. And I really want to encourage you, we're still at the beginning of this year. If you are not yet sure what you want to accomplish, where you want to go, please go and sit down. And don't allow the life to dictate for you, you know, or circumstances, just to come along and then I'll deal with it. That is so, I want to use the word dangerous, because it's dangerous, because life will just predict and they will direct. But when you know what you know and where you need to go, you know what to say no to. And you know what to say yes to. But if you don't know, then anything goes. And then the world dictates, and the world decides, and people dictate, and all of that. But when you know where you're going, then a lot of things happen. And I think, you know, something that's in my heart this morning for us as a region, and I just share this in the other churches as well, but I want to share this with you, and I want you to listen, hear me out this morning in the context of where we are at, Shofar Wolfies Bay, is this thing between, you know, at end of last year, we spent some time with, some of you were in that worship event, we were away with friends, and one thing I've noticed between the shift of 1 year to the next year is always that last few seconds we were trying to stay awake, you know, and we like, and we're sitting there, it's almost there, it's another 20 minutes, and we're like, anyway, but between that last second from 19 to 20, there's this internal thing that's taking place inside of us. We all have a hope that this year is going to be better, huh? Okay, we're grateful for 2019. Can I just see everybody present here? I do this exercise quite often, so can I just get an amen from everybody? Then I know everybody's present. You're allowed to talk when I preach. Amen? Amen. Okay. Okay, that's a relief for you. You don't have to sit quiet and just worry. This is a quiet place here. So you're allowed to talk here. But between 2019, between the shift of 2 years, there's always this thing of we're hoping for something better. This year I'm going to do this. This is my bucket list. This is what I want to do. But if we haven't got hope, why do we live here this morning? Huh? All of us hope. Even if you do not know Jesus, and I'm, you know, Jesus is the ultimate hope, but even people out there that is not in relationship with Jesus still hope that this is going to be better. But Jesus is the ultimate hope, but we're not going to go there. Now, here's the thing. Also, what I've noticed, between that shift, we all wish each other the best for the year, and then we run into this year, and we hope now things are going to change. But the majority of people sitting here this morning has got some stuff that happened that took place in 2019 that wasn't solved, that was carried over. We would have loved to draw a line and say, you know what, we separate ourselves from 2019 and then we walk into 2020, we start afresh and we forget about everything. No, it doesn't work like that. Would you agree with me? Some of us have got some Christmas weight that we carried over with us in. So we got to get rid of that. But we live in a society, and it indoctrinates us so much that we bring that into the church is, if I can't have it now, I'll go for something else. So we live in this mentality, you know, everything should happen quickly. It should happen within this frame of reference which I want it to happen. And no vision, nothing, a lot of things in life that we want to accomplish doesn't happen in a year. You know, by the way, time is made by man, it's not by God. God lives in eternity. So for us to dictate and say, you know, everything should happen, we have a specific expectation within 2019, certain, or 2018, 19, that things would have happened within that time frame, it doesn't happen like that. And, you know, we would love to take on some new things, and this is the thing which I really, Donnie, thank you for that word. It was so in time on you. You will see when I come to the end why I say that. That it often takes endurance and it often takes persistence to walk it out. I'm going to give it there. If that's the word that the Lord said to me for us, is, and this word, walk it out. Walk it out. We would love to touch new stuff. You know, I love it. There's a part of me that just loves it. But there's stuff that God has asked us to finish that we need to stay focused and say, God, what is it that you ask us? Imagine if God every year needs to tell us, listen, can you do this? And then we touch this and we do this 20%. Then we next year, 2020, we come. Oh, Lord, tell me, what can I do for you next year? Huh? That's the mentality that we have. Because with that assignment, with that vision, with all of that comes a lot of stuff. And I'm sharing this morning on the bittersweet taste of a successful vision, because it always starts with a sweet moment. It's like, oh, God asked me to do this. God picked me. By the way, we're starting a series now about the why me. And I'm so excited about that. It's all about this thing. Why did God pick me? But here's the thing. When you come to that realization that God has actually chosen you and me to fulfill and to reach people and to reach this world and to see His kingdom come through me and you, it's like, wow, God. And I still sometimes, when I look at the vision, when I look at the things that God has asked us to do, I still ask that question, why me? But I can't get the answer. The thing is, God has said, it's you. And think about that. God has said to you as well, it's you. There's something specifically that God wants to use. But we need to walk it out. You know, we can't go back to God this morning and say, God, I'm tired of that one. That thing you asked me last year, Sisiklani, can you give me something new? Would you give somebody, let me ask you this, would you ask somebody or give somebody something new or new assignment when the old one is not yet finished? You'll tell him, go back and finish what I've asked you. And if you successfully finish that, I can give you more. So there's a shift that's taking place in our hearts and our minds this morning, that if we can step into that responsibility, into that place where God can trust us to finish, we're going to see so much more. There's a story in Nehemiah. If you want to turn with me to Scripture in Nehemiah 4. On the whole book of Nehemiah, I fell in love with this story because it's such a reflection of where we are. And I want you to read this whole book. It's just, there's so much truth in this book of how God would come and He would minister, speak to one man when he hears the bad news. The Bible says that Nehemiah was captured. He was taken away and he's in a different land. He's the cupbearer of the king there, of a foreign king. And then he hears the bad news of the walls in Jerusalem. And when he heard the bad news, it affected him so much that when he was in the king's presence, he was just so sad. It could have cost him his life because he was not allowed to show his emotion that he was supposed to be excited. Imagine that. Hey? You're supposed to be there with the king. You've got this heavy burden upon you, but you're not allowed to show your emotion. But also the beauty in that whole story is when he, Bible says, when he heard the news about the walls, he was so affected by that, which refers to the kingdom of God, the church, the matters of God. When he heard about that, it affected him. And immediately the thing that jumped to my mind is, and the question I want to pose to you, when you hear the bad news about the kingdom of God, when you drive through the streets, when you look at the situation, does it still affect you? When you look out there, you're like, man, this is a town so big. How are we going to reach this? And we need a lot of churches to do that, by the way. But we've got a portion, and we've got a mandate, and we need to ask ourselves. It needs to burden us in such a way that we are almost saddened, because it starts from that place. It's, God, you need to show us the way. Anyway, so what happens, Nehemiah goes to the king, and the king asks him, listen, why are you so sad? And that's the mercy of God, not that his life is at that moment, his life is at stake, and that the king doesn't kill him, and says, he tells the story about the walls of Jerusalem, and the king is gracious through the grace of God that's upon the king, and the king says to him, listen, I'll give you permission to go and rebuild the walls. And he gives him a letter, and he gives him even the stamp of the king, and say, listen, wherever you go there, just tell him I've commanded you. Now, it's amazing how God would use a foreign king. That to me is also just, you don't write off people just because they don't have a Christian label, by the way. They can be used by God. just be alert. Now, here's the thing. God uses that king that doesn't even serve him to further his kingdom, for the sake of his kingdom. So he gives him permission. He goes and collect all of that. Well, first of all, Nehemiah goes there at night. He inspects the walls. And I'm just giving you some background because we're going to pick up the story in Nehemiah 4 so that you understand when we pick up from there. So when Nehemiah goes there, he goes there at night and he inspects the walls. And again, there's a message for us there. When God asks us to do something, sometimes you got to keep it in secret there, because not everybody's excited as you are. And if you share that too quickly, even within church, even when people don't mean bad, they will be negative about that. They will see, and they haven't got that same seed and that same word that you've got.
So you got to wait it out. You got to inspect it. You got to pray over that. And you're going to allow God so that He will touch others as well. Now, it's necessary that we have people around us to ask us the right questions. I have such people around me because I love dreaming. I love, but I have also people around me. Did you think about this? Because we all want to go out there, but we need those people just to ask us some questions. But if you do it too early, the thing dies. So Nehemiah starts, and I want us to read from verse 6. So he encouraged the people, gets them together, and they start building the wall. Notice that what Scripture says here in verse 6, at last the wall was completed. This is now halfway through this. Everybody on the wall, they're starting to work to half its height, not to full its height, to half its height, around the entire city. For the people had worked, notice this, with enthusiasm. I love it when you need to bring your other Bibles with you. I don't know, that's just my idea, because you can make notes in that, underline in that. I know I've got that on my phone as well, but you can actually underline that word enthusiasm, because it always starts from that place. And look at this, what happened after that. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs, Ammonites and Ashdodites, all of those dites, when they got into the picture, it became very scary. Heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. But we prayed to our God, but what did they do? After confusion came, after they were enthusiastic, when the Sanballat and the Tobias came, what did they do? I want you to see that. They prayed. That's a word for many. If the church can pray as they work, man, we will discover something there. There's a king. But we prayed. Not but we ran to this whim and we ask advice. No, but we pray to God. People, if that's one thing God is speaking to us at the moment, it's about prayer. We got to get that in our spirits. You're going to struggle and struggle till you get to that place that you realize some stuff you won't be able to fix yourself. You got to get to that place that you say, but I prayed. And there's something more as well in the story. And I love this. But we prayed. Let me get it from. But we prayed to our God. And there's an and in the story as well. Guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. The two things they did. The spiritual and the natural, I want to say this. You need to know this. Because if you don't get this, then you'll go through life either this route or that route. There needs to be a balance in your life. You cannot just pray and never work, okay? And never serve, never get your hands dirty, never face the actual problem. There are some people, they're so spiritual, all they do is just pray. They've got an answer for everything. You say, but we got to go out there and talk to people. No, but we'll pray for them. No, we need to face them. We need to be around people. We need to be out on the field. But you can't just be on the field when you've not prayed. So that's the other side. Some people, they never want to, they do everything in their own strength. And they want to accomplish that in their own strength. And God will lead you to the end of that. Where we're going to go to now, just now. But we prayed and we guarded the city. Then the people of Judah began. This is now after all of this happened. Then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired. And there's so much rubble to be moved. Listen to the words. And now they started with enthusiasm, the Bible says. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves, half the height. And they get to that place. Now, we're at the beginning of this year. I know some of you are excited, but maybe this word will sit in your spirit for a little bit later this year. With every vision, a lot of times we get to that place where we're halfway and we're like, oh, we're not going to make this. The enemy, the Sanballat, the Tobiah comes in. And the Ashdodites and the Ammonites in our midst from outside, because we'll see in a little bit later, that it wasn't just outside interference, there was inside interference as well, and that they had to deal with. But from the outside, they came to divert them from the cause of God. And with any vision, it would start with us. Listen, God will place something in your spirit. He will give you a word. It will always start with God in the sense of the word. But then it moves over to us. That first step that you need to take in faith is always the man. Okay? It starts with the idea. It starts with a word. But then you need to act upon it. We can say, you know what? God speaks to us about planting a church or moving this place. But we still need to find out. We still need to engage in what we've done and what you've done. And praise God for the move that you've moved here. I tell you what, it's such a God move. We still need to go through the phases. But when you go through that, here's the thing. It starts with that. God would ask you, what have you got? David, what have you got in your hand? I've got a slingshot and a few stones, Lord. Now take it. Moses, what have you got? I've got a staff in my hand. Now throw it down. Gideon, what do you have? I've got a few thousand men. Now take them down to the brook. And God would always have this pattern, which I've noticed in Scripture as well. It started with Nehemiah that heard the Lord, that was moved when he heard the news. He gathered the people together. They moved to the Jerusalem, and they started building. So God will always start with our resources, our time, whatever is in our hands. But, and there's a but in the story, you need to listen to that. God would deliberately lead us to that place that we get to the end of ourselves. Some people never start with themselves, but you need to start with yourself. You need to put something on the altar. You need to give God something to work with. But there comes a time when the vision, what God requires you to do, you'll run out of that. And then you need to get to that place, but what are you going to do then? Are you going to run back and try and get some more people to do the job? Or are you going to pray? You're going to try and run back to your own resources, but so then you're just going to yourself uitbrand. That is the dividing line. I want you to notice this. When we reach that place where I call it the end of ourselves, it becomes a significant dividing line in the church, in the body of Christ. A lot of people don't take that step across that line. Because suddenly we are now in the land of comfort versus the land of faith. And this is the exciting part, where God is leading us. If there's something this year that the Lord said to me, Yaku, this is your year of faith. All things are possible for those who believe. People, if that word comes and sits in your spirit, God takes you into a different dimension. But it's a shift that needs to take place in our hearts for us as a church. We need to start thinking differently. You cannot think with that Egypt mentality in the promised land, because you will never eat the fruit of that. When God says this land belongs to you, even before you've gone into war, you need to make a few changes so that when you go into war, you know this has already been given to me. When God spoke to Nehemiah and said, listen, you're going to rebuild the wall and get to the half of it, everybody is not as enthusiastic anymore, but we need to pray and we need to get to the end of ourselves, lift ourselves out of that pit and say, God, we're going to step out into faith. We need to walk beyond our own ability. This place, this church, Shofar Baptist Bay, is not built by the effort of man. It should be built by faith. We should fill this place not by just inviting, but by faith. If we're not going to walk in faith this year, God is not going to get the glory. We're going to get the glory. We should look at this place and say, how did this happen? And everybody should say in one voice, by God's grace alone, by faith alone. Not through what we accomplished, what we did in our own strength. For God's glory. I shared this message in the beginning of this year, and it's just so in my heart. It's this whole thing when King Jehoshaphat when Hezekiah was king, and how overnight the Lord would come, and you can read the story in Kings, but how God would kill 185,000 of the other army. But here's the thing: when Hezekiah had the bad news, he spread out this letter from that king. And he spread out before the Lord, and he started praying. Go and read that prayer. God, this is about your glory. This is about your glory, God. Don't defy your name. We'll come through for us. And here's the thing. The Lord came through, killed 185,000. The Lord said to me this. If you're always going to live for your own glory, you'll have to fight for yourself. But if you live for my glory, and that's a place of freedom. When we get to that place and say, listen, I surrender completely. I get in sync with what God has asked us as a church to do. God will fight for me. Man, that's a place for him. Because people are going to talk. People are going to try and get you confused. People are going to try and get you away from them. I'm talking kingdom here for a moment. Please, people, don't look at your business. Don't look at your house. And I know some of us, we tend to, when we talk about faith, you know, God is going to come through for me and my salary. And I mean, all of that things are great things. But for this morning, just for the sake of where we are at, let's just stick at ministry and kingdom. God will do all of that for us. But, you know, God doesn't exist so that I can just have a happy life and I earn so much and I live in this. Life is, it would be so boring if all life is just around that. What can I earn tomorrow morning? And how happy can I be tomorrow? My life is about seeing the kingdom of God here on earth, glorifying Him. So here's the thing. I want to encourage you. As we enter into this year, we really need to make a shift. Last year was such a blessing to me, guys, when Stephen was here. And a little one, and I want to say this to you, Shofar Balfour's Bay. God is saying there's a shift that needs to take place from that mentality of a little one. You need to get rid of that. We cannot have that mentality of a little one anymore and a small one. We got to think like a son. We got to step out there in faith and say, God, you've given us territory to conquer. If we still think like that, we're not going to take the promised land. And I want to commend you with last year with Stephen. I think all of you, what happened at that night was for you to see that it's possible if you have faith. We can fill halls. We can reach people that we've never thought we can reach. We cannot enter into the promised land with that mentality. Walk beyond your own ability. Step across that dividing line into a place of faith. See, we misinterpret the promised land often, the rest of the promised land. Everybody's, oh, I just get into the promised land. Then I'm going to sit back, drink a few drinks, and this is it. But the reality, and I'm reading through Joshua now at the moment, and there's a chapter that says, and Joshua conquered this king, this king, this king. This is in the promised land. 31 kings he had to kill. I think there was more war in the promised land than in the desert. And we've got this picture of, yo, you're in the desert, it's tough. But in the promised land, oh, it's just eating grapes. And we've got the picture of the big grapes and all the nice things. But in order to take the promised land, you still have to fight. You still have to conquer. You still have to walk out and tear it, walk it out. And conquer the territory. I read some of that, and the scripture says that some of the tribes, Joshua had to say to some of the tribes, listen, the Lord said to you, take that land. Why haven't you occupied it yet? When they entered into the land, the Lord said to them, I give you this land. But they still had to face every king. Some of the tribes just sat back. And it was a few years down the line, and Joshua had to address them and say, listen, when are you going to wake up and take the land? It is yours. God has given them the word. Caleb came to Joshua. It took him 45 years from the time that he first saw the promised land to the time when God allotted it or gave to him his allotment. And when he gave that, he even asked for the promise. He asked actually for the hillside. Hey man, it says a lot about a man like Caleb. That kind of spirit. 85 years old. He comes to Joshua and says, listen, I'm just as strong as I was when I entered into the promised land. But I don't ask you for the easy ground. I ask you for the high ground. I ask you for the hills. I'll take that. I want to conquer that. That's the kind of spirit we need to have as a church when we want to conquer for God. I'll take the big ones, God, because you are with me. But I'm going to pray. And people, don't do it in your own strength. We're going to run out of that. I want to encourage you this morning. If there's one thing, it's our faith that we need to stir up. We need to look at things differently. Can we bow our heads for a moment before I continue praying? I want to pray a prayer, and I'm going to carry on with my message just a moment, but just for a moment when we are on the topic of faith, nobody looking around, because this is not just a prayer of include me, this is a prayer that you need to be serious about what you're asking, because God will, He will take you up on this, believe me. He will challenge you, and He will remind you of what I'm going to ask you now. If you sit here this morning, and you say, I can identify with this. And my prayer this morning is, God, make me a man of faith, a woman of faith. Hey, man, that prayer is not an easy prayer. You don't even know what's coming. And you might even be afraid, but that's also fine. But you are willing. That's enough for God to work with. I want you, if that's you, nobody's looking around. This is not about, if you're not ready, that's fine. God, no judgment. But if some of you, but God wants to raise up faith inside of you, faith warriors that are willing to take the land. If that's you, just quickly raise your hand wherever you are. And I'm just going to pray a prayer, simple prayer. God is just going to activate that in your life, individually. I'm not even going to be aware, but you're going to be faced with that. You can lower your hand. Some more? Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, I thank you for each and every one. Father, that says, here I am, Lord. Make me a man of faith that pleases you. Oh, God, you know everyone. You know everyone's heart. Every woman, every man in this place, every lady here, Lord. Touch them, Jesus. Raise them up to become faith warriors in this kingdom, in this town, Lord. And, Father, I pray that we will tremble at your word, Lord. Father, we will not be intimidated by circumstances, Lord. will not be moved and discouraged, Lord, that in those moments that we lose hope, Lord, we will pray, Lord, and we will find our hope in you. And nothing, Lord, that the world will throw at any of these that say this morning, Lord, here I am, Lord, will deter them, Lord, or divert them, Lord, from where you've called them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Verse 19 says this. So what are we saying to one another? Walk in faith, my people. Walk in faith. That is where God wants us to live. You know, you can live in church safely. It's a nice place to come every Sunday. We can sing songs. We can have fellowship. We can drink coffee. And we can enjoy church quite a lot. But when you step out in faith, it's a different thing. It's when your broek begin bewer. Because you know, whoo, if God doesn't come through, I'm in trouble. You need to be in such a spot. Last week we gathered, so we did a fundraising for the church building. And people said to me on Monday morning, oh, you preach just for me. I said, no, you don't understand. I preach for myself. I can chase everybody out of the church and just preach myself here. Because it's easy to say, talk about faith and walk out in faith. So we did this fundraising. And we are at the brink of deciding whether we're going to continue finishing the church. It's so interesting that we find ourselves. And now you've got to apply that with what you have, with what you commit to. And I spoke to one of our elders and said, okay, now we have to apply that. We have to say yes to stuff that we haven't got the funds for yet, exactly. And now there's a fine line. I don't want to go into faith and what is faith and all of that between stupidity. But you need to know that you know that you heard God. And when you know that you heard God, you got to stand. You got to pray. And you got to step out. So make sure that you are connected with God. That's probably the key here in this thing. Otherwise, everybody can, I want to do this. And this is faith. It's not necessarily faith. Sometimes you need people around you. But anyway, look at verse 19. Then I explained to the nobles and officials and all the people, this is what you need to notice. The work is very spread out. And we are widely separated. The work are spread out, and we are widely separated. Those two words. From each other along the world. When you hear the blast of the trumpet rush to wherever it is sounding, the sound of the trumpet, then our God will fight for us. Here he comes. God will fight for us. Now, I've noticed in Scripture three things, and I want us to look at those three things. The work is spread out. The people are widely separated, and the sound of the trumpet. Just want to talk you through this. The work is spread out. People are widely separated. And the sound of the trumpet. Rush to the sound of the trumpet. If you get this, you figured out a lot that's happening inside of the church. Here's the thing. 480 years later, after this story took place, on a, I don't know if it was a Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon, I don't know. But Jesus was sitting with his disciples and he's looking out all across, almost that feeling we sometimes get when we drive here, we look at this town and we think, God, how are we going to do this? And I can just imagine that Jesus was looking at the fields, was looking at the people, and he prayed this prayer. Or he taught his disciples to pray this prayer. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers. Because the work is spread out, in other words. Man, you need to get this. And the people are widely separated. Our Jesus prayed that prayer. Back then, that prayer is still as active and so necessary today, more than ever. That's probably some of the prayers I pray the most. Because the work is spread out. There's so much work. And the people are so widely separated from one another because everybody's in his own world. The walls are being built and there's so many gaps in the walls because everybody's just in their own world. This past week, I was in Windhoek and I'm there for meetings and I got this call about somebody that said no to God about just a simple commitment of an hour almost or two a month. And it just hit me. In such a way that I just didn't know how to deal with it. Because here's the thing. God said, no, don't talk to the people about it. Don't go back and ask people. Just, I want you to feel what I feel. When we often so easily say no to God. What I feel. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty here this morning, people. Please. Please don't go down that This is not. It's just God sometimes wants us to feel because he's on the wall there. And I want to say to you, the enemy would tell you your part is not significant. You don't mean a lot in church. That little bit that you do doesn't mean a lot. But here's the reality what God says to me. Every time you get onto the wall, when Rihanna was sharing here about the ministries and what's happening, you're filling a gap. And the enemy will tell you, no, it's not important to run up there and play with kids. You're filling the gap. Don't believe that lie. The work is spread out. I look at this nation. I look at the generation when God calls us as a region to reach the next generation. You know what I think? The work is spread out. God, how are we going to do this? And the people are so widely separated. When Johannes is standing alone on this platform, can I say to you, the work is spread out. And the people are so widely separated. Wake up and get on the wall. There's pleasure in doing what God has called me to do. Hey man, this is not work standing here this morning. There isn't a shift that took place in my heart the moment when I became a pastor and I'm employed by the church. I still enjoy this as much today as I did it when I was just volunteering. There's not a difference there. You don't have to be paid by the church or do this full time to enjoy this. You can enjoy this tomorrow morning or next week when you come back for this morning when you're here and just say, you know, when I sit there at the back, for your glory, God, I love you, Lord. The work is spread out. But here's the thing, we are overwhelmed sometimes by the need. I believe you're overwhelmed when you look at this town, when you look at ourselves, we think, oh man, we're so small. And here's the key, the sound of the trumpet. The Bible says that Nehemiah had to know that they were so spread out, the people are so widely separated. But he said, whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rush to that place. And then you stand in that place and then God will fight for us there. Here's the thing, he talks about prophetic obedience and significance, I believe. And for us as a church, we need to come to that realization. When we look at our nation, when we look at our town, hey, we're not going to do it on our own strength and we won't be able to do it on our own. Can we get an amen on that? We cannot reach this town on our own. And we were never called to do that on our own. It will take a lot of churches to rise up, men of faith, to say, we need to do our part. But the reality, what God is saying to Shofar Office Bay, where did I sound the trumpet for you? Where am I fighting for you? Do you know? And this is what I would say to everybody. Do you know what's happening in the heartbeat of the church? Do you know that you know? What did God ask us as a church? Tomorrow night we've got a meeting. You know what I want to ask my leaders? What does God ask us as a church? I don't know. Let me finish. I'm running ahead of myself. I'm just getting too excited. What does God ask us as a church to finish? Us, corporately together. Do you know that? Have you sat down with leaders and asked them, what did God ask us to do? Because it's not just about our individual assignment. So often, I want to do this, and this one want to do this, but we are not synchronized towards something common. We want to go out in a direction, 50 different directions, and we're not effective. It's important that we get to that place of corporate unity. And here's the thing, can I give you a word? Sometimes God will ask you to do stuff that you don't like to do. Because he's teaching you something there. No, it's about my gifting. Leave your gifting at the altar for a moment. God can resurrect that. He gave that to you anyway. So he will arise. He will give you opportunity. And believe me, if God gave that to you, he will give you the platform. But he's taking us sometimes through times and seasons that we have to learn to sacrifice for the bigger thing. That I'm never on my own. That what I'm doing is forming part of the bigger vision. And even if that is to require of you to leave some stuff behind so that God wants me to do this, which I don't want to do right now, but for the sake of the vision, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it with a good attitude. Amen. We need to get to that place. Guys, Johannes, Robert, sometimes, and I say this to the leaders, and I say this in front, we need to tell our people, this is where I need you now. And I want to say to the people as well, submit to that, please, for the sake of the vision. It's not about somebody that's just trying to give you something to do which you do not like because he doesn't like you and now he's going to try and get you into a place where church is not nice for you. No, it's amazing what God does through us when we do stuff that we do not like. It's amazing stuff that, amazing spiritual growth. Praise God. We didn't get in that territory. I'm laughing about this, but it's the truth. What did God ask Shofar, Walvis Bay, or us as a region? Where did he sound the trumpet? Do you know that? There's time for you at the beginning of this year to find out. The sound of the trumpet. You know, that place, the sound of the trumpet, talks about a prophetic obedience. Some time ago, some few years ago, there's a book written by Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life. Who read that book? Okay? It's not fun to read the book, okay? So you can raise your hand. I read the book as well. Last week as well in the church, I asked this question. Everybody's like, shall I raise my hand? There's nothing wrong with the book. I'm just asking if you know about the book. But here's the thing, amazing book about purpose driven. But I think something that shifted in my life over the last few years, and probably bored you with all of that detail, won't go there today, is to shift from being purpose driven to presence centered. You know, so often we want to be my calling, oh, my gifting, my purpose. You need to have a purpose, please. I'm not knocking that. But I'm saying I've come to that place when it's presence centered, this is what God is doing right now, and I'm going to come and stand at that spot. If this is where God is blowing the trumpet, I'm going to stand there. Because this is where He's fighting for me. I'm going to get my turn. You're going to get your turn. But right now, He's blowing the trumpet here, and He's going to fight for us. If we can get our forces and strength together with that, amazing things will happen in our midst. If we send it, can you imagine if an army goes out there, and everybody's just fighting wherever they want to fight? No commander. Everybody, this one has got this weapon. This one's got this weapon. This one is shooting this. This one is, totally chaos. But when we can synchronize and get to that place of being presence-centered, God is doing this, God is saying this, let's stick to this. The tough thing sometimes is we got to say no to other stuff, good stuff. It's difficult. People in church will come and tell you, listen, can we do this course? Can we do that? Can we do that? And when you say no, they think you are just being funny, you are not open to it. That's not the thing. You don't have to knock somebody else to say, when you say no, it doesn't mean you're knocking something else. You just purposely going in a specific direction to what God has called us. So how does that come together? And that's the thing that we need to ask ourselves. Am I walking in faith in a ministry? Sorry, this is just coming back to my mind now. I want you to think about that. I'm taking you now back to the previous point regarding faith. And it's important that you ask yourself this question. Am I walking in faith in the ministry where I'm currently at? It's easy to say to me, I'm trusting God for my finances, all of other stuff. Think kingdom for a moment. And while we're involved, are we walking in faith? Does it require a certain amount of faith? You're playing too safe. We need to see and look at ministry and think, God, we are outnumbered. What do we need to do? Then we start pleasing God. You see, we lose two types of casualties along the way. Those who lose heart. Unfortunately, this story, you read the whole chapter of Nehemiah, or the whole book of Nehemiah. There were those that were intimidated by outsiders. They started believing that nonsense, I want to say. You get that in church. I see that with us in Shofar now, involved in Swakop as well. People start getting intimidated. They hear voices, then they start talking. We got to walk with the fear of the Lord, people. When those voices come, we need to recognize this is not from God. This is to take us away from where God is taking us. He's trying to steal the seed in your heart, enthusiasm, all of that. And when He steals that, you become so sad, you are just at that place of, I'm not going to be able to do that. But we get back to that place, and unfortunately, we lose them along the way. Sometimes we lose, and there's another casualties that you see in Scripture here. Those that got offended. I wish I could change that. But the reality in life is when we go in a specific direction, when God says, listen, church, move in that direction, some people will think we're going that direction. And then somebody needs to say, no, we stay on this track. We're going to go this way. And then the few are going to say, no, you're not recognizing. And what do? You have a chance or opportunity to get offended. You choose whether you want to take it or not. Anyway, we've got the decision. Then we expect others to come to us because I am now offended. They come and fix. No, I don't see that in Scripture. You sort it out yourself. I know this is hard and tough. You know, I said to somebody this week, when God was busy preparing me for ministry for more than 10 years serving there, you know how many times I got offended with my pastor? You wouldn't know. It's amazing. So many times. In those 10 years, he never came to me and said, hey, what happened to you? Can I help you just to get... No. Those 10 years was 10 years of silence just so God can break me and work and mold my heart so that I can go to Him, not to a person every time, and sort out my own heart. And here's the thing with offense. You got to sort that out. You got to learn to sort that out with God. Because between you and God to figure that thing out. Well, God knows, but just for us to hear. Then we can live in harmony. Verse 21, we're going to the end. Now it's hot here, sorry. I get excited about this word, but we must be presence-centered people. If we want to get to the other side this morning. We worked. Church is work, eh? It is us something, some stuff of us. We worked early and late, verse 21. From sunrise to sunset, and half the men were always on guard. I also told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem. That way, they and the servants could help with guard duty at night and work during the day. During this time, none of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor the guards who were with me, ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water. He's talking about a focus, a determination. We never took off our clothes. We stayed on that wall, and we knew what we wanted to, do. You see, as we progress towards where God is taking us in our vision, we need to stay focused. I'm going to say this. We cannot, the opportunity are going to come. During this year, believe me, you're going to get other thoughts and other people can say, do this. We need to stay focused. We need to be in tune with our leadership. We need to communicate regularly. We need to be in that heartbeat where we know what we know. This is what God has asked us. And then stay disciplined. Stay focused. Even the good things. Sometimes say no to the good things because it's going to distract you from where God wants to take you. So here's my word, and I already gave this to you. And Donnie actually gave it, so I could have stopped the sermon in the beginning. But that is just God just confirming everything here. God, what are you saying to us in 2020? And I would have loved to take on something new for you, Lord. But Lord said, you know, I already told you what you're supposed to do. This is the words that Lord gave me. Walk it out. Walk it out. Some of you sit with stuff that God already told you. God has given this church an amazing assignment, amazing mandate, amazing things to do this year, but we need to walk it out. Don't run after new ideas just because, you know what, it's 2020, new things. No, we're going to stay focused. We're going to not be deterred from anything where God is taking us. And I want you to see this in closing. This is after all of this oppression, confusion, all of those people on the inside or outside working, trying to influence the inward ones, trying to get them to stop them from building the wall. Scripture says in here in verse chapter 6, verse 9, I want you to see that. Nehemiah says this, so I continued the work with even greater determination. Every time when the enemy comes to oppress you, to take you away, to try and resist you, you got to be determined to say, now I'm going to be even more determined. Now I'm not going to listen to that voice. Now I'm going to show you, enemy, you tried to take me away from building that wall. I want to say stuff you, almost in a way. But I'm going to do even more. I'm going to be even more determined to make sure that this room is filled. Because you're trying to tell me lies. It's never going to happen. And I'm not going to believe that. People, there's some of the voices you need to get rid of that is not from God. I feel to say to some of us here this morning. Look at that verse 15 in closing here. Can I have some, Johannes? You can add in. So on October 2nd, the wall was finished just 52 days after we had begun. When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. They realized, and this is the part I want you to say, realized this work had been done with the help of our God. That struck me. Listen, we are in the center of the town. We got an empty building. All we need to do is trust God and move out. So that the surrounding people, if I can give it to you, will look at that place and say, this was only with the help of God. That no man would be able to stand here and say, oh, look at our great church or what God has done. What we've done. We need to get to that place where we surrender everything and say, God, for your glory, for your glory.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.